Dimension Films, an animation of a mischievous boy in a school cap riding on a roller coaster, which becomes the letter U of the word Studios of the logo Troublemaker Studios. Gates swing open on the Troublemaker theme park. Crowds team round a pretty 8-year-old girl with long blonde curls. A woman addresses the crowd.
Hello, everyone. We want to welcome a very special guest to our park today. The president's daughter.
The girl waves to the photographers.
Hello, Alexandra. Where's your father?
He'll be here. I'll make sure of it.
Well, hey there, little Miss First Lady. I'm Dickie Winks, owner of this fine establishment. Are you ready to ride the ride and shrill to the thrill, spills, and chills?
Yes, I am.
Right this way!
Dinky points to a metal tower.
Of course, right behind me, the world-famous whippersnapper. Guaranteed to make grown men howl and cup whoop at weaning time.
Alexandra yawns.
Over on our left. A nerve-wracker. Oh, painful. But fun. On your other left is, my personal favorite. A vomit. Now, we tell people not to ride it on a full stomach. But you know, folks, they just don't listen.
He holds up an umbrella which is splattered with vomit.
But why bother with any of those? You're here for my latest and greatest. For your personal amusement and complete gratification, I humbly offer...
The Juggler.
A tower with four hydraulic arms holding bubbles, topped by a giant schoolboy's head.
But is it fast?
Is it fast? Well, let's see, shall we? The riders are strapped into the bubble.
A family gets into one of the bubbles.
The Hydrobot lifts the bubble high into the air.
The giant arms carry the bubbles up the tower.
It spins it round and round as fast as the United States government will allow.
The bubbles spin until they're a blur.
Bubble spins, turns, flips, and bounces.
The giant arms rotate. The family inside scream.
And then it juggles you.
The juggler tosses the bubbles over its head, then catches them. Alexandra rushes forward, followed by a small army of bodyguards in black suits and dark glasses.
I want to go on!
They go to the control panel.
I thought so. Now understand, the override precautions are top-notch, modified by yours truly. Thought her father was supposed to be here.
The president has more pressing business than to spend an entire Sunday in a theme park.
No one's that busy.
Alexandra secretly takes the override key.
Have fun, kid.
She gets into a bubble.
We'll take it a little slow. Just make it fun.
Dinky pulls a lever and the arms take the bubbles up the tower. They suddenly stop. Dinky and the bodyguards jump in panic. Mm-hmm. Alexandra climbs out.
Can't you get her down? Somebody's jammed the override.
Dinky looks for the key.
Why, that little troublemaker.
Alexandra walks along the arm to the tower.
Hey, calm. We are the Secret Service. Everything is under control.
There's nothing we can do, sir.
What?
The weight of our ages will prevent us from ascending the shaky precipice on which she now stands. She'll fall.
Don't we have any smaller agents?
The agents nod at each other. One talks into a walkie-talkie.
Bring me agents SK-1 and SK-2.
Coming through. Let's through.
Dark-haired Carmen, age 13, and plump Junie, age 10, push forward clutching sticks of candy floss. They stare up at Alexandra.
We're ready.
Use this, the latest gear.
We get to keep them afterwards?
No. Oh, yes, of course.
Let's rock.
They scale the tower, holding on like spiders.
You sure they can handle us?
If not, there are two others who can.
The agent talks into his walkie-talkie.
Bring me agents SK-3 and SK-4 as backup.
Carmen spots two children below.
We got company.
Junie puts on dark glasses, which flip out into telescopic lenses.
Gary and Gertie, what are they doing here?
Carmen and Junie continue to climb. Carmen reaches a control panel. She plugs in a miniature computer monitor. Meanwhile, Junie is climbing up towards Alexandra. Suddenly, a harpoon flies past with ropes attached. Tall, slim Gary abseils suavely up the tower.
Excuse me there, sport.
Where did you get that?
Latest in electrolyzer technology, with new composite materials and AI brainiology. I can see you don't know what I'm talking about.
Gary, this is my rescue.
We'll take it from here.
Leave this gear my butt.
On the ground, an agent tampers with the controls.
No, you just make it worse.
The juggler starts to spin its arms as Gary reaches Alexandra.
Now you got it.
Over here.
Get away from me.
Junie.
Alexandra, take my hand.
Back off. I want my father to come up here and get me.
But he's the president of the United States.
No, he's my father. He was my father before he ever became president, and he should still be my father now. I want him up here.
Sir, we have a situation.
Below?
She's got the transmoker.
This is now a code red situation. Get her down now!
The point is, you and your father need to have a talk. Up here may not be the best place. Come with me and I promise you the two of you will have that talk.
How can you promise that?
Junie shows his ID card.
I'm level 2. I can order him to talk to you.
Gertie, 9 years old with blonde pigtails, arrives beside Carmen at the control panel.
Hi, Gertie. What you doing?
I'm trying to stop the run.
Without disengaging the axis?
Exactly.
Then stop what you're doing. You see, the ride is designed to work like a giant magnet. If you reverse the polarization, bye-bye, Preston Stone.
Gertie puts on computerized finger caps and presses some buttons. The juggler stops revolving. She looks at Carmen.
See you around.
Junie prepares to abseil down with Alexandra. She holds up the transmoker, a palm-sized disc.
Wait. I took this from my father's office this morning. I'm sure I'll want it back.
Careful!
Look, Cortez, you take her down, and I'll take this down. That way we both look good.
I'm not doing this for looks, Gary.
Junie and Alexandra abseil down. The army of bodyguards rush over, searching them for the transmoker.
Thank goodness you're all right, Alexandra. We're sick.
Gary drops in.
Oh, boys! I think this is what you're looking for.
He holds up the transmoker.
She swiped it from the president.
You're in big trouble this time, Missy.
Alexandra is marched to a car.
Wait a minute. I promised her she could talk to her father.
She'll talk to him, all right. We'll make sure of that.
Alexandra presses her hand against the car window, her eyes wide with fear as she's driven away. The transmoker is placed in a small metal case and winched up into a helicopter. Junie glowers at Gary, who smirks back, before getting into a small red helicopter of his own. He flies off, looping the loop. Junie watches. Carmen joins Junie. She looks thoughtful.
Promise me one thing.
One.
No more rinky-dink assignments.
As if flying, a sparkling ocean sweeps under far down below, finishing at the foot of high, misty mountains. A Robert Rodriguez film, Spy Kids 2, Island of Lost Dreams. High on a mountain, against the evening sky, stands a Spanish villa. Lights shine through the windows. Inside, Ingrid sits at her dressing table, her daughter Carmen beside her. They're both in evening dress.
So, you want the Yukata assignment, huh?
Your duties are assigned to you by the agency. Same as everyone, same as me.
I know, it's just that we've learned so much. Junie and I are more than capable of taking bigger assignments.
But that's not your decision to make. The Spy Kids organization is still new, and if you're a level 3 or even a level 2, you cannot go on a mission alone. You need more experience.
Ingrid's mirror becomes a computer screen.
Okay, Mom, if you're looking for top secret information, just go straight to the source.
Carmen has a go.
Welcome to the Pentagon.
How did you do that? You can't do that. There is no hacking in this household.
I know. Sorry.
Carmen presses another button.
Show me that again.
Gregorio is combing Junie's mop of curls.
I know. This hair thing is one of my weakest points. We're gonna get it. You wanna look cool. In fact, you're looking cool already. Like me. Like Papi. And it's kind of emotional. To me, you know? Uh-oh. Not. We are gonna...
Junie screws up his face with pain.
You? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We got it. That's my boy. Last touch.
He pats Junie's greased back curls.
You want me to tie it for you?
No, it's okay. Ralph can do it.
A robot bug scurries onto Junie's shoulder.
So tight, Ralph. And not too tight.
The bug climbs onto Junie's chest and deftly ties his black tie into a neat bow. Gregorio touches his own tie, comparing it to Ralph's immaculate job.
Thanks, Ralph.
Ralph jumps into Junie's hand. He puts the bug back in his pocket.
Interesting. But... can never ever replace me.
He adjusts Junie's tie.
Not yet, but I think that new upgrade comes in next week.
Gregorio forces a smile.
Oh. Only joking.
Junie goes.
Kids.
Gregorio stares at himself in the mirror.
Joking.
Ingrid and her children get out of a car.
Okay. Remember, kids, this is a very important night for your father. Now, if he's named director of the OSS, be sure to stand up. Give him a big hug, all right?
What if Dad doesn't win?
Then give him a bigger hug.
At the party?
Washa Carmen, Huan Ying Lai Dao OSS.
Oh, Miao Ying Wei Ling, this is Danielle and Dion DeLuc.
Hello.
Hi.
They created InfoLeak, sort of an online trading system for swapping international secrets.
Junie looks around the crowded courtyard. He joins Carmen.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Champagne?
Can't have any of that.
Sorry.
Junie frowns.
Something doesn't feel right. No wonder your buddy's here. Your buddy with the weird laugh.
He does not have a weird laugh.
Gary and Gertie.
We were just talking about you.
Really?
Gary quickly stops laughing.
Wow, you look great, Carmen. You want to dance?
Sure.
I don't think that's a good idea, Gary. Family rules say you need to ask my father's permission.
You know, you should have had that suit tailored, Junie. It's bunching up around your gut. And it makes your head look way too big.
Carmen pushes Junie back.
You have to excuse my little brother. He's still a little upset about the juggler incident.
And good agent controls his temper.
Carmen takes Gary to one side.
Just be glad my dad isn't here. He gets really psycho about this sort of thing.
She sees Gregorio.
Hi, Dad. You remember Gary? He's in our organization.
I was just asking your daughter for a dance.
You know how to dance?
Fairly well, sir.
What kind of dances?
All types of dances.
What about tango?
Yes.
Mambo?
Fairly well.
Fumba?
Yes. Cha-cha-cha. Seven steps.
Basta.
Mm-hmm.
Merengue?
Of course.
Gregorio looks conspiratorially at Junie, then fixes his dark eyes on Gary.
What about waltz?
Yeah, I can waltz.
Show me.
Gary, slightly flustered, starts to dance with Carmen. Gregorio and Junie double up with laughter, then quickly straighten up as Gary finishes his demonstration.
Something like that.
Right. You don't gotta dance.
Once they've gone, Gregorio grins to himself, then whispers in Junie's ear.
What's your order, sister?
Junie wanders around the courtyard, eyeing the waiters suspiciously. They're wearing red jackets, dark glasses, and tall metallic hats. A cluster of bodyguards march towards Junie, stepping from side to side. Puzzled, Junie peers between the bodyguards and spies Alexandra in a pink party dress, dancing by herself.
Alexandra?
Yes?
What are you doing in there?
Dancing.
Do you always carry this many Secret Service around?
My dad's idea. He's gotten a little paranoid.
Well, would you dance with me?
No.
All right, hold on a second, guys. Level two, break it up.
The bodyguards step away.
Why not?
I only dance ballet.
What an incredible coincidence.
Junie does a balletic leap.
So do I.
Alexandra's eyes light up. Junie pulls off his jacket and tosses it away. It lands on Gary's head. Junie and Alexandra race towards each other, jeteing as they pass. Alexandra strikes a pose, and Junie cartwheels before holding his arms out dramatically towards her. She launches herself at him, and he holds her high above his head. She looks down.
Well, Junie, I must say, you're a man of many talents.
Junie lowers her gracefully to the floor. They stand, tango style.
One tries.
Felix, balding with a moustache, clinks on a glass.
Could you find your seats? We're ready to start.
Alexandra backs away from Junie. The bodyguards close in around her.
I must go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
The President addresses everyone from a podium. He reads from an auto cue in front of him.
Thank you. I am proud of the OSS and their newly formed Spy Kids Division for their outstanding accomplishments yesterday. Gary and Gertie Giggles not only saved my daughter...
What is he talking about? I saved her!
But more importantly, if not most importantly, they safely retrieved the Transmooker device that my daughter accidentally took from my office earlier that day. Now it's my great pleasure to announce the new director of the OSS.
Gregorio straightens his bow tie.
Gregorio...
The words on the auto cue flicker and change from Gregorio Cortez to Donegan Giggles.
Donegan Giggles.
The Cortezes watch miserably as Donegan shakes the president's hand and takes his place at the podium.
Gary and Gertie Giggles are the kind of agents we need to turn the OSS around. I am proud to award them these Level 1 badges, which will enable them to take on real missions. Something challenging, like the Yukata assignment.
Yes! I wanted that assignment. This is so unfair.
I am proud to claim them as our organization's top spy kid operatives.
Something's not right.
And I'm also proud to claim them, of course, as my children.
This is all wrong.
To our spy kids!
To our spy kids!
All the adults raise their champagne glasses and drink. They gulp, choke, and clutch their heads. Finally, they collapse, some falling in their dinner. Carmen checks her parents, who are both unconscious. She dips her finger in the champagne.
Sleepers.
The waiters race to the president. They take the transmoker from the president's pocket. Two spy kids pull an iron gate shut, blocking the waiter's escape. The waiters are surrounded by spy kids who flex their arms, ready to fight. Carmen steps forward, her face mean.
Take him down.
The children charge. Waiters go flying, landing in dishes of pasta. The spy kids leap through the air and kick the waiters to the floor. Even the tiny tots join in, kicking a waiter as he struggles to get up. Gary wrestles with the waiter who has the transmuker. He's thrown off but recovers as jets of flame shoot from his feet, propelling him around the room. The waiter swipes at him uselessly. Junie rehearses impressive karate chops in the air. He kicks a waiter, but is seized from behind by another. Junie throws the waiter over his shoulder. Gertie confronts a waiter who beckons to her mockingly. She presses a button on her bracelet and her pigtails twirl round like propellers. She elegantly rises off the floor, then kicks the waiter, sending him flying. Gary fires himself like a missile at the waiter with the transmuker. He drops it and Junie picks it up. Only to have it snatched from him by Gary. The boys fight. The transmuker rolls across the floor and the waiter picks it up. Carmen and two other spy kids confront him with guns, sending out rays in yellow spirals. The waiter holds up the transmuker and the guns stop working. Carmen tosses the gun away and throws herself at the waiter. She kicks him, then backflips away. Seeing the waiter is still standing, she picks up two metal spoons, which she juggles and twirls like knives before throwing them. They stick to the waiter's hat like magnets. Carmen picks up two more spoons. The room begins to tremble. Carmen stares wide-eyed as the spoons float from her hands. High above the courtyard, a flying saucer hovers. All the spy kids stare up as everything metal, cutlery, goblets and plates fly upwards. Carmen looks at the waiters, who are standing in a group. Up in the flying saucer, a lever shaped like a magnet is pushed forward. In the courtyard, the waiters are bathed in a white light before shooting up like rockets. Their hats stick to the underside of the flying saucer, which zooms into the night sky, carrying the waiters away. The adults wake up. Carmen and Gertie rush over to the boys, who are still fighting. They both hold on to Gary. The president discovers the transmuker's gone.
No, they took the transmuker device! They took the transmuker device!
Gary points accusingly at Junie. Carmen pulls Gary's arm down, but too late. Everyone's staring at Junie. Donegan shakes his head sadly. Junie looks around in disbelief. They all fold their arms and glare at him. A huge angular orange building with giant letters reading OSS Junior. Junie walks tentatively through the reception hall. He stops and stares at his own picture on the wall, which reads Spy Kid of the Year. A workman takes it down and replaces it with a picture of Gary. Gregorio, Gary, Gertie and Donegan are on their way to reception.
I had the transmoker in my hand, but, you know, Junie, he wanted to claim it for himself.
Okay, that should do it. Thank you, son.
Right.
If that transmoker device falls into the wrong hands, we're doomed.
Thank you, Mr. President. That'll be all.
We're doomed!
Understood, sir.
As the president is hurried away, Donegan gives Gregorio a scroll of paper and pats his shoulder sympathetically. Gregorio looks sorrowfully at his son. A flying saucer sweeps over tropical jungles surrounding the ruins of an Aztec city. Giant magnets are positioned all around. The waiters, really Magna Men, are dropped on top of a pyramid. They slide down the steps where they hand the transmuka to a head Magna Man. Junie is watching a TV program at home, Floops Fooglies. Junie turns away miserably. One of Floop's Thumb Thumbs, a life-size figure made entirely of thumbs, gives Junie his lunch.
Thanks.
Junie takes the bowl to the table and lifts the spoon, but doesn't eat. Carmen joins him.
I was fired.
I know. I hacked into the OSS data files and saw the news. It was partly my fault, I suppose. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess that's that.
Let's go to the treehouse. I got an idea.
They walk through the garden.
I guess I could always set up a small detective agency out here or something.
You're thinking small again, Junie.
The old treehouse needs another helicopter pad.
It needs a paint job is what it needs.
The treehouse is made of wood, ramshackle and tatty. Carmen presses some buttons on the tree trunk. A rusty metal door slides open. The children step inside. It's full of high-tech equipment.
Your name?
Carmen Elizabeth Juanita Echo Scabrava Cortez.
Your name?
Junie Rafi Razor Rebel Cortez.
The children are taken up in a lift and emerge in a huge room constructed of brightly painted metal. Junie takes down one of the many photos that are hanging on a string.
I'm kind of looking forward to retirement. Get back to all the projects and dreams I left behind.
Oh, stop it, Junie.
She pushes a giant plug into a bank of sockets.
Look, do you want your job back or not? That's right, reinstated, level 2. So now we can get back the missing transmuker.
How?
She presses a button and two metal seats flip up out of the floor. Carmen sits in one. A screen in front of her shows live action from the OSS building.
Looks like Gary and Gertie are about to get briefed on the Yukata assignment. We should listen in.
Words flash up. Access denied. Carmen looks at her brother.
Is Ralph still at your office?
If they haven't cleaned it out yet.
He presses some buttons and the screen shows his office. Ralph is lying idly on his back on the desk. He flips onto all fours, responding to Junie's signal.
Ralph, get to the briefing room. We need you to spy on Gary and Gertie. Make sure no one sees you.
Ralph leaps obediently off the desk and scurries under the office door, hitching a ride on a trolley as it's wheeled down a corridor. He beetles along the floor, narrowly missing people's heavy footfalls. Pausing for a moment, Ralph hops along a railing, then onto a briefcase carried by a man. He jumps down and shoots a line up onto the arm of a boy carrying a box. The boy doesn't notice the tiny robotic creature and continues walking. Ralph swings into a mug of coffee, then onto a woman's head hiding in her hair. He arrives at the briefing room.
There is a Bermuda Triangle of sorts off the coast of Madagascar. As you may remember, this is an area where some of our OSS cargo ships have been disappearing.
Good boy, Ralph.
The survivors of these disappearances tell delusional tales of a mysterious island populated by strange creatures. Obviously, no landmass is located anywhere near there, so these tales were dismissed and the agents fired. However, the magnet ship that captured the transmuka device was last seen in this same area. So, we need a small ship piloted by two small agents to go in and take a closer look. If you find anything out of the ordinary, you return, you report it back here.
We accept.
You bet we accept. Come home, Ralph. Good work.
It's a great assignment, but Gary and Gertie have it, and I'm fired.
And I'm reassigning you to the OSS.
Don't tell me you're hacking into...
Already done. Level 2 status reinstated.
Carmen, you can't do this.
I already did it. I take it one step further. We're assigning ourselves to the Yukata assignment and programming a new destination for Gary and Gertie.
Now that I gotta be a part of.
Junie rushes to the other metal seat.
State your name, please.
Gary Giggle.
He mimics Gary.
Access denied.
He knows you're not him.
Junie does Gary's laugh.
Woohoo! Confirmed.
Junie smirks at Carmen.
New destination.
How about Gobi Desert?
Stop it, Junie.
What, don't want your boyfriend to go so far away?
He's not my boyfriend.
Okay, then.
Destination confirmed.
There. What did we just do again?
We're gonna get the transmuker device back so we can clear your name. We just have to solve the case before anybody finds out what we're up to. Are you with me?
Okay.
Then let's go.
They get out of the chairs and see someone coming up in the lift. They fire lines up to the ceiling and shoot out of sight.
Hello?
Their Uncle Machete steps out of the lift carrying a metal crate.
Hello?
He looks up.
Hey, what are you doing up there?
Sorry, we thought you were somebody else.
Who gave you a key?
Did you forget who built you this place?
He kicks one of the metal chairs. They both flip over and fold into the floor.
Come down from there.
The children drop down and a table rises up. Machete puts the crate on it and opens the lid.
I brought you all new gadgets.
Check it out, the very latest spy watch. Total communication center right there on your wrist. Cell phone, internet access, satellite TV, you name it. That baby will do everything but tell you what time it is.
It doesn't tell time?
No, there was so much stuffed into it, there was no more room for the clock.
Well, are you sure these are new? We can't be running around with outdated equipment.
Close your eyes and hold out your wrist. I'm going to give you the one gadget you should always carry.
A rubber band?
Nope. It's a Machete Elastic Wonder.
It's a rubber band.
Yeah, but it's also the world's greatest gadget. 999 uses. And the important thing is, you have to figure out what those uses are with this.
He's right. Use number one, a stylish bracelet.
Use number two.
Carmen snaps the elastic on Junie's arm.
I'm gonna make a fortune with these.
The children arm themselves with gadgets. Junie puts on dark glasses. The lenses read Spy Dude. They arrive in the OSS docking bay.
Are you sure this is going to work?
Just be cool. As far as anybody knows, you're back on the force.
Felix is waiting.
Hey, Uncle Felix.
Oh. I'm not your uncle.
I know, it's just easier to call you that. You don't mind, do you?
Of course, Matt.
He brings up data on the screen.
Well, welcome back, Junie. Says here you were reinstated.
Sure does, doesn't it?
He was fired and we hired all on the same day.
Okay, let me bring up the keys to the Dragon Spy 5.
Felix goes. Carmen grins.
Cake.
6 o'clock.
Junie spots Gary and Gertie.
Wow, you're looking good with the new gear, Carmen.
The latest stuff.
Very cool. Only we had that weeks ago. Here's what's really new.
Nanotechnology. Everything you're wearing is right here on my wrist. It's super accurate and oh so light. It even tells time.
How did you get that?
Well, it's all prototype, Junie. You can't be running around with those mass-produced gadgets. It just means everyone's got them. I always go with the prototype. Sure, they're a little buggy, but I can deal.
He holds out Ralph.
I accidentally squashed him on my way out of the OSS building.
Junie takes him.
Sorry about that. He was outdated anyway, so think of it as a mercy killing.
Felix returns.
Gary and Gertie Giggles. You have assignment SEIKJU9. Good luck.
They go to their Dragon Spy submarine.
Don't hurt yourselves with that outdated gear. Remember, an agent is only as good as his gadgets.
The doors close. Carmen and Junie's Dragon Spy arrives.
You have the Yukata assignment. Very nice. Good luck.
Junie takes the keys and the children get in.
Thanks, Uncle Felix.
Not your uncle.
The submarine dives. It looks like a huge dragonfly, Carmen and June each sitting in a bulbous glass eye.
Nice sub.
Welcome to the Dragon Spy DLX.
Seems like they get more and more sophisticated each month.
Everything is automated.
Now picking your nose.
Junie wipes his nose, pushing an automated stick away.
Little brothers.
The Dragon Spy continues on its murky underwater journey, weaving between giant stalagmites.
Let's check our lunchboxes for mission updates.
Carmen presses some buttons, then sits back as a small table rises up with two metal lunchboxes. She inserts her OSS badge in a slot, and the box springs open, revealing a burger, chips, and fizzy drink. She looks at Junie, who's holding the broken Ralph.
Sorry, Ralph. You were the best spy in the Force.
Junie, leave it alone. He's dead.
Thanks to your buddy, Gary.
It was an accident.
You like him and believe him?
I don't like him that much.
She idly jabs at some buttons. A screen in front of her becomes filled with pictures of Gary. She hastily gets rid of them and looks sheepishly at Junie.
Gary's a bad guy, Carmen.
Maybe I know that. I think I can change him.
I do not understand you.
And you never will.
French fry, sir.
The automated stick jabs him in the eye. Carmen brings up pictures and information about the mysterious island.
Strange. Tales of a mysterious island. Disappearing ships. Mysterious creatures. And yet no information anywhere on the OSS cargo or the magnet ship.
What's Donegan doing there? He wasn't OSS director yet.
These are old OSS secrets. And I know just the person we can call for advice.
Who?
Floop.
What?
Floating?
When?
In front of psychedelic patterns.
Where?
Who?
What?
When? Where?
And why?
I delighted.
What?
Do I intend to find this time?
Run around!
Jump and down! Bounce and bound and...
Find another way to duck and hide.
This isle of dream.
Floop smiles secretively. His mobile phone rings.
Hello? Yes? One moment, please.
Cut!
Thumb thumbs fall to the floor around Floop, who's in his recording studio.
Who is it again?
Junie Cortez! What can I do for you?
You've done so much for me.
Your robot counterparts are the surprise hit characters of my show! Say hello.
Hello. Actually, Carmen wants a word with Mr. Minion.
Oh! He's right here.
Carmen and Junie robots glide away, Junie crashing into a wall.
Minion is practicing a four-part harmony.
You have 1 minute.
Minion has four heads. He takes the phone.
Bueno.
How you doing, Minion?
Things are a little floopy around here for my taste, but it's a living.
I need some information on your favorite subject, the OSS.
I need to make a call.
Okay, you ready? Yukata. Transmuker.
The president's daughter is unavailable. Magnet ship. Press 1 to record.
Mean anything to you?
Smells like the work of Donegan Giggles. He had first contact with the Transmuker technology.
You think Donegan's the one behind all this?
You're talking to a man with four heads. Trust me. The guy's a turd.
What should we look for?
First, find the island. Then find the island man. That would have been Donegan's contact.
Okay. Thanks, Minion.
Be a good girl and swat your brother for me.
Oh, I will.
Junie is recording a message to Alexandra.
Something's wrong. Take the wheel.
Gotta go. Good luck.
Slow down. We're nearing destination zone. The waiting for all the disappearances occurred is right... here.
All the lights go out.
We've been shut down! Hold on to something!
The Dragon Spy crashes on the rocky seabed.
All power's off. Even the emergency power. My flashlight doesn't even work.
We're stuck, aren't we?
Let's get out of here.
Carmen goes to a voice-activated drawer.
Rebreathers. Rebreathers.
Gotta do it by hand.
What next?
She pulls open the drawer.
Nope. Hand crank.
They wind open the doors and climb through, holding light rods.
Unbelievable. Low tech.
They wade through a tunnel with water up to their knees.
Here we go.
Putting on small breathing masks, they both dive into the lower part of the tunnel, the body of the dragon spy, and swim through it, lighting their way with the rods. They emerge into a small chamber. Diving suits hang from hooks. They look at the equipment.
Should we travel light or heavy?
We may not be coming back down here. Let's go heavy.
She takes a suit.
We don't have much choice.
They both put on the baggy suits. Junie tries a breathing mask as Carmen winds open the hatch.
At least the masks work. I think it's because they're valve operated, not electrical based. So strange. Good luck! You too! Stay close!
The chamber fills with water. The children swim up out of the dragon spy and head for the surface. They punch their suits, which inflate until they look like enormous red balloons with their heads poking out the top. The children break the surface and bob on the waves like huge tomatoes.
Oh, great! I'm fat! Was it supposed to do this?
It has an electrical automatic shutoff, which didn't work. Luckily, we ran out of air before the suits exploded.
Well, we can still laugh.
At what?
At whatever you can imagine Gary and Gertie are doing right about now.
Gary and Gertie climb out of their dragon spy, which has landed in a muddy puddle in the middle of desert surrounded by high rocky cliffs. They both look puzzled. Gary spins round in frustration.
Gertie, where are we?
Well, according to my coordinates, they are...
They drop into a hole full of animal poo. They struggle to the surface, spitting the stuff out. They're surrounded by camels.
Camel poop! Someone's gonna pay!
Gordazes.
Gregorio's in his office at the OSS. Ingrid comes in.
I like your new office. It's smaller. Cozy.
Especially smaller.
She gives him some photos.
Oh. So many successful missions.
Amazing, isn't it? Remember this one?
Oh. Which mission is that?
Mexico.
Of course.
A photo of a woman and a man in a wheelchair.
Actually, that was the one mission we never accomplished.
Ingrid, don't start with your parents again.
It's funny you should mention them.
No, when I mentioned your parents, it's the exact opposite of funny.
Doesn't it bother you that we never got their full blessing? Frankly, you deserve another chance to show them.
All right, all right. Invite them if you want, but I won't be here.
Tell them that I have to go on another mission, that we're having a little problem on the moon.
My father loves the moon.
Gregorio eyes his wife suspiciously.
You invited them on Friday, didn't you?
Define invite.
Cortezes!
What?
Donegan's on a screen.
I have some bad news. May I come in?
Certainly, sir.
Yes, sir. Great.
The Cortezes quickly tidy themselves. Ingrid stands beside her husband and they fix smiles on their faces. Donegan comes in. He walks up to the desk.
Two of our spy kid operatives are lost on the Yukata assignment.
Your children have their assignment.
I'm so sorry, Donegan. How can we help?
Actually, my children are safe, somewhere in the Gobi Desert, I believe. I'm sorry to say that Carmen and Junie are somehow the ones on the Yukata assignment. A computing error of some kind.
Communications?
None. Their dragon spy ship doesn't show up on radar or satellite. Greg, Ingrid, you guys risked your lives once before to save me. Let me go now and personally bring your children back.
No, thank you. Thank you, Donegan, but respectfully, we have to do this ourselves. If you could provide tactical backup and surveillance support of our efforts, we'll leave immediately.
Okay. Yeah.
Donegan flinches as Gregorio tosses gadgets to Ingrid, which she deftly catches. The two agents stride down the corridor. Donegan calls after them.
Ingrid, I know this may be a bad time, but, your parents are here.
Ingrid smiles nervously. In the docking bay, the couple prepare, strapping on gadgets. Ingrid sports a pair of sunglasses reading Spy Mama. Gregorio furtively opens a small box and a moment later displays an immaculate pencil moustache. The couple are watched by Ingrid's parents, Grandma with short blonde hair and Grandpa, a handsome grey-haired man in a wheelchair.
But you guys told me you were coming next Tuesday. This is a very dangerous assignment and you have to wait here.
Well, we want to help.
Don't worry. You taught me everything I know.
Yes, but not everything we know.
Of course not, Dad. See you in a few hours. Thanks.
Ingrid tosses Gregorio some keys and they step into a boat which starts to glide away. Ingrid blows Grandma a kiss. She smiles back indulgently. Gregorio waves. Grandma glares at him.
I still don't like him.
Grandpa nods. Carmen and Junie are still bobbing on the waves.
Junie? Was that there before?
An island looms in front of them.
That wasn't there a minute ago, was it?
Are you kicking me?
I'm way over here.
I felt something against my foot. There's something under me. Come look.
I don't see anything, Junie. Let's just concentrate on getting to shore.
A monster's head rises up behind them.
Okay, it's about 200 yards. We kick steadily at 1 foot per kick.
It's like a dragon with huge fangs.
We'll reach it in,
A second head appears.
25 minutes?
The heads are on long, scaly necks.
I don't know. The calculator doesn't work.
The heads lunge. The children shoot forward.
Judy, what did you do? The air's coming out of our suit. We're heading toward shore.
One monster head dives under, its long, snaky body following, pulling the other head down, which is attached to its tail. Carmen and Junie struggle onto a sandy beach, their suits deflated. Junie hauls a heavy kit bag behind him.
Travel heavy! Good idea!
All right. Give it a rest.
They pull off their suits.
Okay. We're going to set up a campsite, put up the tent, build a little fire,
and roast marshmallows.
Carmen throws down two small pods. Nothing happens.
I can't believe this.
What happened?
Nothing, that's just it. That was supposed to make an instant campfire and that was supposed to make a shelter.
None of our gadgets work.
I mean, we have to use our heads?
Yes.
Ouch.
A Magna Man watches them through binoculars. At the OSS, Donegan pours himself a coffee.
Big office. Director of the OSS's office. Big.
His desk, carved in the shape of the letters OSS, is perched on a tower in the middle of an enormous chamber. Donegan goes to it, jumping along the tops of smaller towers, spilling most of his coffee in the process. He gives a satisfied smile, then presses some buttons. A Magna Man appears on a screen, the Aztec pyramid behind him.
Did you find the source of equal or greater power?
It emanates from the north side of the island.
Have you located the island man?
He's somewhere underground.
Yeah, we'll start digging. I'm on my way.
On the island, Junie has built himself a hammock out of branches and leaves. He's swinging lazily. Carmen marches up to him impatiently.
Come on, Junie. Let's go check out the island.
I just set up camp. See?
He tugs on a piece of string which makes a fan of leaves spin round.
Sure wish Gary was here. He'd want to find out who was behind all this.
She kicks a stick which supports the hammock. Junie crashes to the ground.
Oh, man. All right, let's go.
They walk through a valley of enormous rocks.
Wow! This place is amazing! Check out that rock!
Looks like a hot dog.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've seen enough.
Let's go back to the beach.
Carmen catches his arm.
What? Listen. I hear something humming.
They duck as a Magna Man shoots over them, standing on a giant magnet.
Somebody here has power. We need to find out who and for what.
Gary and Gertie are in their Dragon Spy.
Destination, Yukata. Estimated time of arrival, 1 minute and counting.
They're both covered in camel poo.
How fast are you going?
85 knots.
Well, go faster.
With pleasure.
Faster.
faster.
Faster?
You broke the fence thingy.
Faster!
The dragon spy is jaddering. Gary and Gertie press back in their seats. They crash. The children fly forward, their faces squashed against the glass.
All right. Now what?
Gary and Gertie emerge on the sea in red inflated suits. Gary spits out his breathing mask.
This is terrific. You know, this is just great. You really did it this time, Gertie.
Are you kicking me?
No. We're over here, cheeseball.
The two-headed monster rises up. It snaps, inches from their heads, then rears up, snarling with fury. The monster smashes down on the water, sending Gary and Gertie bouncing like rubber balls onto the beach. They struggle to their feet. Gary holds out his arm, aiming one of his gadgets at the monster.
I'm gonna zap that sucker to bits. Come here.
He jabs at the buttons. Nothing happens. He prepares to swim out to the monster.
Wait!
She points to Carmen and Junie's discarded inflatable suits.
Save it for the Cortezes.
Excellent idea.
Carmen and Junie are searching.
I don't get it. I saw it go through this wall. What's your assessment, Junie?
I think better with food in my belly.
He takes out a snack bar.
I think we should go up there and check it out.
Up there? To the top of the volcano?
Yep. Not even if my micro grapplers were working.
Gary, be brave enough to do it.
Nope. Nothing you can say can change my mind.
The children's eyes widen in horror.
What did you just say? He didn't.
The trees below them are shaking.
Reaching to the top!
They run towards the volcano as a huge gorilla-like head is glimpsed between the trees. Carmen and Junie reach the top. Junie stares down into the volcano.
Volcano!
Carmen steadies him.
Junie, stay back.
It's not active.
A flying pig swoops.
Junie!
He falls into the volcano. Carmen quickly attaches a line and dives after him, catching his foot.
What are you waiting for? Get me out of here!
If my artery tractor was working, I'd get us both back up there.
Okay, I'm gonna grab your hand.
Junie stretches up and grabs Carmen's free hand. He slips a little, but she keeps hold. Junie pulls himself up. Her phone plummets down.
My cell phone.
The line is breaking.
Why'd you stop?
Anything wrong?
Close your eyes.
Why?
It snaps.
Junie! I'm sorry!
They plummet down towards a red glow. The sides of the volcano shoot by them in a blur as they fall. Carmen falls casually on her back, arms folded. She turns to look at Junie, who's falling on his side, leaning on his elbow. They both look bored.
How long have we been falling?
I don't know. My watch doesn't tell time.
Best guess.
I'd say about 3 hours.
Feels like four.
Now they're both falling on their fronts, chins resting on their hands. Junie takes out his snack bar.
How could you be eating at a time like this?
You know that tickling sensation you get when you fall?
Of course.
That pretty much went away after the first hour.
They both see something below.
Ah! Ah!
They're floating over a large model of the island.
What happened? I don't know! We're floating!
The model's inside a cave. A man's hiding.
You see something? Over there, hiding!
What do you want?
I want to get down! I'm Carmen Cortez, Special Agent of the OSS.
I'm Romero, sole inhabitant of this island of Leaky Leaky.
Romero wears a white coat.
Sole human inhabitant, that is. And you are?
Tired and hungry!
Nice to meet you, tired and hungry.
He pushes a rock and the children fall.
Ah! Careful, you'll crush my island!
Sorry, we just fell 4 hours. We're a little clumsy right now.
You weren't falling. It was an illusion.
Romero puts on a pair of cracked spectacles. His hair sticks up.
Magic?
Romero pushes the rock and a blast of hot steam shoots up from the model volcano.
Science. Quickly, we must get somewhere safe.
He rushes up a flight of stone steps. Carmen and Junie run after him and follow him through a rock opening into a large tent constructed from branches and canvas.
I'm a genetic specialist. I needed a controlled environment for my experiments.
The creatures we've been hearing?
My experiments run amok.
What happened?
Romero pulls on a rope, shutting out the daylight.
I thought I would make a fortune from it. Kids everywhere would have their own miniature zoos, right there in their bedrooms.
Miniature zoo?
God's creatures. At a manageable scale.
He opens the doors of a miniature wooden stockade on a table. Tiny animals parade out.
Unbelievable.
I called it Romero's Zoo. Genetically miniaturized animals. Lions, tigers, bears, penguins.
He rolls a tiny barrel to Junie.
Monkeys.
Junie pulls out a string of little monkeys.
Monkeys in a barrel.
Careful. Careful.
The monkeys run up Junie's arm and hide in his curly hair. Carmen picks them out.
One day I accidentally mixed up two or three different test tubes and created a new species altogether.
In flashback, a tidier-looking Romero holds up two test tubes, one of blue liquid, the other red. Back in the present, he puts another miniature zoo on the table.
Romero's Zoo 2. An entirely new miniature zoo, where each species is unlike any creature you've ever seen.
Each animal is a mixture.
Horsefly?
A cat with a fish head.
Catfish.
A monkey with spider legs.
Spider monkey.
A bull with a frog's back legs.
Bullfrog.
Junie reaches out to a lizard with a snake's head.
Slizzards.
Whoa.
Stay away from those. And so I started to think. If only I could make them all a wee bit bigger. You know, for kids with meatier hands. That's where things went very wrong. I applied a growth serum. And they took to it. All too well.
In flashback, Romero pours a green liquid on a tiny slizzard. It instantly grows into a giant. Romero falls back, pouring the serum into his miniature zoo.
No! And I've been locked up in here ever since. I'm afraid to go out there again.
He pulls on the rope and the tent brightens.
They've tried to gobble me up on more than one occasion. Why do they despise me so? I created them.
He stares out through his cracked spectacles, his face screwed up in thought.
Do you think God stays in heaven because he too lives in fear of what he's created? Here on Earth? Stop looking at me like that. I'm no loon.
What I'm still trying to figure out is why this island doesn't show up on even our most advanced satellites.
I created a cloaking device to shield my island from curious eyes. Anything electronically powered that comes within a mile radius instantly shuts down. Any radar that passes over me is displaced, creating the illusion that my island doesn't exist.
A transmoker device.
How did you know?
Your cloaking device is highly coveted. People everywhere are trying to get their hands on it.
They all listen.
Are you sure we're the only humans here?
They return to the cave with the model of the island. Romero carries his zoo.
There they are. Two children, judging by their size.
What is this?
It's a miniature of the island.
He tips his tiny creatures onto the model volcano.
Center point of the volcano provides a gravitational basis for which my miniature creatures can line up exactly to their larger clone counterparts.
So wherever your miniature creatures are on this model, that's where the bigger ones are outside?
Correct. I can keep track of their whereabouts this way. See? The two intruder children are being chased by a slizzard.
Gary and Gertie, leave them. We have to go help them.
They shouldn't be snooping around my island to begin with.
I'm with you, dude. We have to help them.
I'm not going out there. I'll be eaten.
He hurries away.
What a bizarre man.
Carmen and Junie race over the island. Gary and Gertie are hanging onto a rock face.
Help!
What are you guys doing down there?
It's real funny, clown. Get us out.
We tried to activate our micro-grapplers, but they didn't deploy.
Nothing works here.
Yeah, we know that now. Thanks for the update, Carrot Top.
Junie, come back. They need our help.
Oh, I'll help them.
I want to get him back over here so I can push him back over myself.
Hurry up.
Come on.
Here, Gary. Give me a hand.
Thank you, Carrot.
Gary smiles at her, and she smiles back. Junie scowls.
Here, Gertie. Give me your hand.
Just wait till my father gets here.
Your father's coming?
The four children run across the island.
Where are you taking me now, Carmen?
Hold on.
They enter Romero's hideaway.
Why are you still hiding? We're kids, not monsters.
What's the difference?
Relax. They're OSS agents as well.
Level one?
They're Donegan's kids.
Agent Donegan?
You work for the OSS, don't you?
I work for a man named Donegan.
Who is this guy?
Donegan's not interested in your creatures.
Why not?
The transmuter device that hides your island. That's what Donegan really wants.
That's not nearly as interesting.
Now that Donegan's head of the OSS, he has the power to take it from me.
What are you babbling about now, Junior?
The transmuker you took from the president's daughter, Gary. It was just a prototype.
The real transmuker device is here on this island. It's even more powerful and can shut down all technology on the planet.
You said your father's on his way. I think he's coming to pick it up.
You're all liars.
Do you really think you're going to turn us on our own father?
Did your dad tell you the mission you went on was just a setup for Carmen and me? Why not?
He has his reasons. That's what being a good spy is all about. Trust no one.
How to be a spy. We've read it.
Well, read it again. A good spy makes no binding connections with family or friends.
Well, I don't believe in that, do you?
If you want to be a good spy, you better believe it. My father is a great spy, so let's grow up, shall we? Whatever my father's done, it's what it takes to play in the big world. Like it or not. Come on, Gertie, let's go.
Gary and Gertie go.
He's right.
Oh, why can't you side with me just once?
There are no sides. You're right and he's right, too. That's what being a spy means.
Well, I don't like it.
Then quit.
I will.
Yeah, right.
A large submarine with Mothership written on the side glides under the ocean, its headlights penetrating the gloom. Gregorio and Ingrid are piloting it, each seated at a console. They both press some buttons and peer at the screen in front of them.
Donegan was right. Their dragon spy doesn't show up anywhere on radar.
I am not interested in finding their sub. Remember that year I insisted on doing the children's dental work? Myself?
How could I forget?
Well, I installed a non-electrical tracking device in their teeth. My own invention. But I haven't been able to test it. Until...
He inserts two cards.
Now.
Trackers flash on the screen.
Hey, it works.
Well, hard to believe. But according to this... They are in the middle of the ocean.
Above sea level. But where they are on the map, there's no landmass. How can that be?
The submarine shakes.
Now what?
Something's got us.
They both look around for a cause. Then Gregorio dramatically holds up his forefinger. He looks knowingly at Ingrid, then over at a covered porthole. He gets out of his seat and walks stealthily over to it. Ingrid tiptoes closer. Gregorio looks at her, gives a little shrug, then presses a button. The porthole cover slides open. His hair stands on end.
What is it?
Your mother.
Mom?
We wanted to join you.
Are you nuts?
We needed a bigger boat.
And we brought real food. None of that freeze-dried stuff you think so chic.
Son-in-law, make yourself useful.
Gregorio lifts her down.
Why are you here?
We wanted to help get our grandchildren back.
We will get our grandchildren back.
Gracias. Oh, wait. You've got something on your lip.
What?
Got it.
She rips off his mustache.
Mom, Dad, I am a big girl now, and I can take care of myself, okay? And Gregorio and I, we can take care of finding our children.
You don't seem to understand. This isn't you and Gregorio simply saving the world again. This time, we all have much more to lose if you fail. Carmen and Juni.
You cannot come with us. It is too dangerous.
Oh, you mean, we can't handle ourselves.
Grandma pulls up her sleeves and Grandpa pushes a button on his wheelchair. They both sprout mechanical wings. Grandpa's chair hovering above the floor. Gregorio holds out his hand.
May I have my mustache back, please?
Carmen and Juni are with Romero.
If Donegan really is on his way, we have to destroy the transmuker. Where is it?
The other side of the island. Not easy to get to. The journey alone is more dangerous than the transmuker itself. I made sure of it.
Show us.
You're not going out there, are you?
We don't have much choice, do we?
But those monsters running around?
I don't believe they're monsters. Maybe you shouldn't either.
Well, what should I believe?
I don't know. You're always in here hiding. Maybe they just want to be with you.
Be with me? They want to be picking me out of their teeth is what they want to be.
You just gotta show them who's boss.
You're not afraid?
Junie shakes his head.
First thing you gotta do is fall into this pit.
The children arrive in a valley. Giant magnets hover like waiting vehicles.
How does it work?
Supposedly they run magnetically.
They stand on a magnet.
We should be able to ride over a determined path.
Junie holds a smaller magnet like a steering wheel. They rise up and zoom forward, shooting along a rocky chasm. Gary and Gertie watch from a hiding place.
We have to get the transmooker before they do.
Right.
They run over to a magnet and get on. Romero watches the action on his model island. He sees Carmen and Junie heading for some slizzards.
Slizzards? Oh, no.
Carmen and Junie streak along a river beneath them, their hair flying in the wind.
This is cool!
Carmen looks down. Slizzards are hanging onto the magnet, wrapping themselves around her ankles.
Junie! Junie! I think we should get off now!
A slizzard lands on the steering wheel.
No!
They dive off. As they get up from a pile of leaves, they see Gary and Gertie fly past.
Gary and Gertie, I told you they were following us.
Alexandra is lying on her bed, her toys and a laptop beside her. Junie's face appears on a screen on her bedroom wall.
You have one new message. Message one.
Hello, Alexandra, it's me, Agent Junie Cortez. I'm on a mission. I know I shouldn't be, but I had an idea for you and your father. Simply tell him you need to talk to him. Tell him it's nothing urgent, but someday it might be urgent. And you need to open the communication lines right now. So give me a call. Love to hear from you. And right now, it's about... Telling me I forgot my watches until time.
Something's wrong. Take the wheel.
Gotta go. Good luck.
Judy!
End of message.
Alexandra sighs. On the mothership...
Gregorio, the signal requires that you go around it.
He won't
choose
listen
another
to you,
direction.
Mother. He wants to make sure he loses the children again.
If you would only listen to us and do what we're saying, you're tracking them all wrong. Ingrid, tell him he's tracking them all wrong.
Mom, Dad, I have told you before and I will tell you again. No backseat driving. When Gregorio is at the wheel, no one tells him what to do.
She discreetly lays a hand on the wheel.
Turn here, honey.
Gregorio glares at her, and she lets go.
Sorry.
You're sure you're reading that map correctly?
The coordinates correspond to Carmen and Junie's current position. These are my children, and I will find them my way!
Grandma turns to Ingrid.
Blah, blah, blah. I never understand a single word he's saying. Never.
Not only were we set up, but I bet Donegan knew all along that you'd hack your way into taking this assignment.
I was wondering the same thing.
She takes out a pair of tweezers.
Junie, open up.
What?
Dad installed these trackers in case we ever got lost.
She holds a green tooth complete with circuits.
Ow. Hurry, take mine out.
And why are we doing this?
When we get lost, who saves us?
Mom and Dad.
Now, if Mom and Dad also disappear, who's going to stop Donegan from using the transmooker device? Donegan wants us all together so we can destroy the island and all of us with it.
Mom and Dad? Even Romero?
We can't let Mom and Dad find us.
She holds up a stone.
Or Donegan wins.
A big sacrifice.
Family is sacrifice.
She smashes the tooth with the stone. On the mothership, Carmen's tracker disappears.
What happened? What did you just do?
We lost Carmen.
And Junie?
Junie's still online.
Carmen hands Junie the stone.
I love you.
He puts his tooth down and smashes it. The adults watch the screen in horror.
That can't be.
Okay. What do we do?
They all look hopefully at Gregorio.
I don't know.
Ingrid walks up to the screen and stares at it thoughtfully. Her mother follows her.
Maybe this is like the mission of the spies who didn't want to be found.
You know, if they don't want to be found, maybe their position is compromised.
Grandpa sits lost in thought, idly fingering a key on a necklace he's wearing. He looks down at it, then at Gregorio.
Now, Gregorio, don't tell me you didn't have a backup plan. Ingrid, was Junie wearing that charm necklace I sent him for Christmas last year?
He never takes it off.
Then we got him. I was worried about Junie's well-being, so I put a tracer in his necklace.
He puts the key in the console.
There he is. Thanks,
Dad.
Are you sure you don't want me to take over the wheel?
That's funny. It's funny.
Grandpa and Grandma slap palms. The mothership surges forward. On the island, Carmen and Junie consult a map.
Back to work. Where are we?
Well, not far from the antechamber. I think it's behind us.
Junie's about to eat his snack bar. The giant spider monkey appears. The children are paralyzed with fear. The creature peers at them, sniffing.
Don't move. Maybe it's friendly.
Maybe it's not. Let's go!
They turn and dive down a hole, dropping into a pool of water in a cave. They struggle to climb out. Above, Gary and Gertie look down the hole.
It's an underwater cave. We'll have to go all the way around.
That'll take all day. There must be a faster...
Two slizzards appear. Gary and Gertie look at each other and nod, smiling. Carmen and Junie are in a vast underground chamber. A shaft of sunlight illuminates a colossal golden face. Junie's voice is heard, but he's not speaking.
Wow. What is this place?
He goes up to the face, treading in something sticky.
Do you think that's real gold? Gross. This is so slimy. I hate mold.
I can hear your thoughts.
What?
And you can hear mine. Our mouths aren't moving, but we can hear what we're thinking. Say something.
Junie speaks, but there's no sound.
How strange. We can only communicate by thought.
Magic.
Think something.
Your feet stink.
I wonder...
She takes off her shoe and sniffs it, gagging at the smell. Junie laughs.
Okay, this place is really weird. Let's go.
Good thinking.
They climb up a wide flight of stone steps, arriving in an upper chamber piled high with treasure.
Now this is more like it. Treasure.
Skeletons hang on the walls.
Skeletons. Dead skeletons.
Is there any other kind?
Two skeletons stand facing each other, each pulling on the chain of a large golden pendant.
This must have been where the pirate prisoners and treasure were kept.
She tosses down a golden statue. Junie crouches down and examines the golden pendant. He looks up at the two skeletons either side.
This must have been a pretty special necklace for them to die fighting over it. One necklace to rule them over.
Put it back, Junie.
I didn't take it yet.
I can read your mind. Remember, this land is ancient and cursed. If you take anything, you'll doom us both. Let's go.
Junie goes to follow her, then hesitates. He turns back to the pendant, his eyes darting round the chamber to see if anyone's watching. He slowly reaches out and grabs it. He looks down at it in his hand, glances at the skeletons, then runs after Carmen. The skeletons turn their heads, watching him go. Junie joins Carmen in a passageway.
Come on! I think I found a way out.
Which way?
I don't know. You pick, right or left?
Right.
They run down the right-hand passage. They emerge back in the first chamber.
Wait a minute. Oh, no. We went in a circle.
What? Come on, let's try it again.
Carmen heads up the steps. Junie sneaks a look at the pendant.
Come on, Junie. I know what we did wrong. We've got to go left.
The skeletons have all disappeared. Junie hangs back.
Maybe I should put this back. Uh-oh. Where are the dead skeletons?
Carmen hurries down the passage, shaking her light stick so she can see. Junie is standing in the treasure chamber.
Carmen!
He picks up a sword from the floor and heads into the passage. He emerges into daylight. Carmen is balanced on a rocky outcrop over a sheer drop into the valley below. She's fighting off the skeletons climbing up. She punches them, sending them flying. Two skeletons armed with swords attack Junie. He fights them off with his sword, then challenges the ones attacking Carmen.
Hey, bonehead!
Carmen and Junie send the last skeleton plummeting down into the valley. Then turn in horror to see them all reassembling themselves, attaching heads and taking up their swords. Junie swipes off a skeleton's head. It immediately puts it back on again and continues to fight.
Wait a minute! You took something, didn't you?
No! You told me not to!
Why would I?
A flying pig swoops over and carries Carmen away.
Junie!
Junie fights off the skeletons. They send his sword spinning away and close in. Junie takes the pendant from his pocket and holds it out.
I'm sorry.
A skeleton snatches it and turns away. Another tries to take it and they pull on the chain, adopting the same pose as in the treasure chamber. Junie looks around the valley.
Carmen! Carmen!
It's deserted. Carmen is dropped into a giant nest. Gertie's sitting in it.
You too, huh?
Where's your brother?
Did he get eaten?
No. He's out there, looking for Junie. You know he squashed Junie's bug on purpose.
Yeah, I know.
Now he wants to squash Junie.
Don't you think we should get out of here?
Carmen leans over the side of the nest. They're in a gigantic tree with a smooth trunk. Junie's in the ruined Aztec city.
Carmen! I'm dreaming. I am totally dreaming.
Junie takes out his snack bar.
And I'm hungry, too.
He's about to take a bite when the spider monkey appears. It holds a giant staff and moves closer to Junie, who looks at his snack bar, frowning.
You like honey roasted ham and potatoes, don't you?
That's what flavor this is.
Highly nutritious. Packed with protein and the central carbs.
He tosses the snack bar.
Yeah.
The spider monkey eats it.
Everything a growing centaur needs. You're welcome.
A slizzard closes in. Gary sits on its back. Junie glares.
Well, well, well. Your friend likes freeze-dried. So does mine.
Junie goes to attack, but the spider monkey stops him with his staff. He swings Junie onto his back. The spider monkey and the slizzard size each other up, preparing to fight.
All right, buddy, let's kick their butts.
We're waiting.
Come on. Can't let you bust up my dad's machine, Junie.
The slizzard lunges, closing its jaws on the spider monkey's staff.
So I guess I'll just have to bust you up.
We can take them. Come on, we can take them all.
The slizzard throws the spider monkey to the edge of a precipice. Romero watches on his model.
Must try and help them. Lost.
In the nest.
So, even if your dad is behind all this, you'd still side with him over what's right?
Right? How do you ever know what's right?
Trust me. When the moment comes, you'll know.
They look up. The pig's returning. The pig swoops and the girls jump. As they hurtle down, Carmen releases a parachute which softens their landing. They scramble to their feet.
Come on!
Romero's in his tent.
Show him who's boss. Show him who's boss. I'm the boss.
He unlocks the door. He He hesitates, then opens an inspection hatchway in the door. An enormous eye stares in at him. Romero quickly locks the door again. The Slizzard and the Spider Monkey are still fighting on the edge of the precipice. A Slizzard lunges, the Spider Monkey dodges but falls over the edge, grabbing onto the Slizzard's tail.
Forward, go, man!
Gary and the Slizzard are being pulled towards the precipice. The creature wraps its long neck around an obelisk. Junie and the Spider Monkey pull themselves up the Slizzard's tail. The Spider Monkey climbs up over the edge. The obelisk crumbles. The Spider Monkey throws Junie clear as it crashes down. Gary points in triumph.
Your creature's lame. So are you, lame-o. It's all over for you, Squirt. Too bad your dork sister's not here to cheer me on.
Carmen swings over on the line. She kicks Gary off the Slizzard's back and lands on her feet, fists raised, ready to fight. The skeletons have gathered to watch. The Slizzard closes in on Carmen but is whipped away, tangled in a giant web thrown by the Spider Monkey, who beats his chest in triumph. Gary gets to his feet, puts on a suave smile and swaggers up to Carmen.
I don't want to hurt you, Carmen.
You're so full of shit, talking mushrooms.
The skeletons wriggle with excitement.
Put it down, Carmen.
He lowers one of Carmen's fists. Their eyes meet. Carmen punches him. Gary staggers back in disbelief, then clutches his nose in pain.
Okay.
He twitches with anger.
Gertie, your little assistant's here.
Don't look at me, brother. You're fighting a girl. You're gonna lose.
Carmen goes over to Junie.
I'm siding with you.
Thanks.
But just this once.
She helps Junie to his feet. Gary watches, his face screwed up with rage.
Cortez.
A Spider Monkey plants his staff in front of Gary, holding him back. Junie gives the thumbs up and the Spider Monkey does the same. Carmen and Junie run off.
You gonna help me or not?
Gertie raises her eyes to heaven, then with a sigh rolls up her sleeves and marches over. A swarm of helicopters swoop over the sea, headed by Donegan, his face locked in a manic grin. In a belfry at the top of a stone tower stand three large magnets pointing upwards. Above these revolves a large transmuker, locked in a sphere of blue light.
Well, there it is.
How do you know?
Because it's big and weird and in the middle of the room.
Good point.
The children move closer. Control pads of buttons are under each magnet, and lights are softly pulsing. Junie reaches up to touch the transmuker.
Careful, Junie. If you don't shut it down right, you can bring the entire world to an end.
Thanks.
I'm serious.
Well, we have to shut it down. This turns that off.
He pulls down a lever.
And that turns this off.
Isn't there something tricky about the third switch?
Gary and Gertie appear.
Too late, Gary. We got here first. Just stand up against the wall like a good boy and leave us alone.
Nice try, but we brought friends this time.
Romero, what are you doing outside of your cage?
I have no idea.
Donegan walks in with Magna Men.
Donegan.
Hello, agents. Warming it up for me? Are you ready to cooperate this time, Romero? Good. This should be plain and simple.
Junie pulls the third lever.
What did I do?
You started the transmoker!
Well, you said three switches!
The entire world will shut down instantly! Good going, cheeseball!
What do we do?
You must bind together the three toggle switches!
Carmen and Junie struggle to hold up all three levers at once. Carmen wraps the elastic around the three levers. Everything stops shaking. Carmen grabs the transmuker.
Give it to me. Give it.
Dad.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
He advances on Carmen.
Or else.
Give it to him, Carmen.
She tosses the transmuker away. The flying pig catches it.
Where'd it go? Where'd it go?
I don't know. The spork took it.
Back to its nest. I know where the nest is, Dad. I also have Romero's instruction book.
Hey.
Brat. Come on!
They all race into the forest, Gertie leading the way, Carmen, Junie, and Romero coming last.
A GPS satellite, you dope.
Wait a minute. How can this be?
When you took out the transmooker, the island cloaking device was shut down.
Then what are we doing on foot?
She kicks her shoes against a stone.
Little now.
Jets shoot out and she flies off. Junie follows, losing his balance and turning somersaults. Romero's alone. He looks around nervously, then hurries away. Gertie, Gary, their dad, and the Magna Men arrive at the tree.
There it is! Get up there, Dick!
Okay, Magna Men, I'm gonna need a human ladder, starting right here.
Carmen
zooms over their heads and lands in the nest. She stretches her machete elastic, making a handle to carry the transmooker. She looks down at Gary.
What?
An agent's only as good as her gadgets.
She zooms away, followed by Junie, who waves cheerily. Donegan opens up his watch, which unfolds into a miniature phone.
They're heading for the beach.
Romero's running across the beach. He reaches the water and reluctantly turns to face his pursuers. His giant creations close in on him, including a slizzard, a catfish, horsefly, and sheepdog. Romero closes his eyes and braces himself for an attack, but the creatures only sniff him. Romero opens his eyes and the slizzard licks his face. He reaches out to them as they gather around.
The kid was right.
Carmen and Junie land further along the beach. Carmen snatches up a small pod and places it on the sand. She activates it with some buttons on her watch and it grows into a tent the size of a small house. Inside, there's high-tech equipment. Carmen sets to work on a laptop.
What are you doing? Try a remote pilot or submarine to the surface so we can get out of here. Get on your GPS and see where Mom and Dad are.
Can't be right. This shows that they're right next to us.
The tent tips onto its side, then folds up before disappearing. They see Grandma.
Oh, no!
That's no way to greet your grandparents. Come on.
Grandma!
Junie! come here.
Grandpa lands. He touches Junie's necklace.
Always take this with you, wherever you go. And I'll always be there.
I promise, Grandpa.
Gregorio and Ingrid rush over.
Not you guys!
Oh, you don't want to be rescued. You don't want to be saved. It's all right. We thought you might need us.
Go talk to your father.
Hey,
girl.
Mom.
Two spies who didn't want to be found?
Yes.
Yes, I like your thinking. But you know what? Those spies didn't have me for a mom.
Come on.
Thank you.
Hey.
Junie looks up at his father.
I'll always need you. Come on.
Carmen, Elizabeth, Juanita, come here,
everybody.
Okay. All right, information.
Okay.
Quick.
We have the transmooker device, but we need to get off this island right now.
What do you think we're here for? Let's go.
They start to run.
Let's explain it on the way. You won't believe who's behind us.
Donegan's waiting.
Couldn't be any more perfect.
This better not be what I think it is. It's all being taken care of. Eh?
Get the transmooker device, Felix.
The Cortezes gape in surprise as Felix appears.
Sorry, Gregorio.
He takes the transmooker from Carmen and joins Donegan, Gary, Gertie, and the Magna Men. The Cortezes aim their guns, but Donegan holds out the small transmooker and the guns stop working.
A little power goes a long way, doesn't it?
He takes the large transmooker.
Reprogram this one, Gertie. I want to start by wiping the Cortez family from the face of the earth.
Uncle Felix, how could you?
I'm not your uncle.
But we treated you like family.
Donegan said if I joined him, he wouldn't get rid of me like he's gonna do to you guys.
Can't argue with that.
Do you still have power in your watch?
Yep.
Programming complete, Father.
Thank you, Gertie.
Try remote piloting the choppers.
Well, Cortezes, any last words?
None that I can say in front of my children.
Not to mention your mother.
Two helicopters hover over the Magna Men. They shoot up, their hats attaching to the undersides of the helicopters, which fly away. Gregorio goes up to Donegan.
Let's settle this the old-fashioned way.
He kicks sand in Lonergan's face.
Kick his butt!
Yeah, kick his butt, yeah! Not like...
They kick each other's butts.
Sleeper hold! Use his own weight against him!
Gregorio's locked in a stranglehold, but manages to nod. The two men fall flat on their backs. Everyone winces.
Do what I showed you last night! Suplex!
Gregorio hoists Donegan onto his shoulder, but collapses under the weight.
Than that.
Triple backflip!
Gregorio does an impressive series of backflips, landing in front of Donegan, who hits him on the head with a transmuka. Gregorio sways, then collapses. Donegan aims the transmuka at the Cortez family. Grandpa and Grandma push Ingrid and the children aside and face Donegan. Gregorio recovers and throws himself in front of them as a human shield. The transmuka explodes. Donegan stares, puzzled. He turns to his children.
Gertie?
She nods.
What did you... Why?
Oh, don't even get me started. Just wait till Mom finds out you try to take over the world again.
No, please, please, please. Don't tell your mother. Please.
She winks at Carmen. A fleet of cars with propellers fly over the beach. Felix stands watching the small transmuka in his hand. A slizzard eats it. Romero's on the slizzard's back. He grins as all the strange creatures swarm lovingly around him. The beach is now lined with suited bodyguards. Alexandra, in a smart blue suit, stands holding her father's hand. The president kisses his daughter lovingly on the top of her head. Donegan waves to the president.
Hello there, Mr. President.
Alexandra goes over to Gary.
By order of the president, you've been temporarily disavowed.
She takes his ID and marches off, leaving Gary with his mouth hanging open. Alexandra points to Donegan. The president nods.
You're fired.
Carmen goes over to Gary.
Looks like I lost this round, but I'll be back.
Hopefully you're on the good side next time.
We'll see, but...
He puts on dark glasses.
You never know.
They read bad boy. He goes.
Don't worry. He gets on one, I'll straighten him out.
You go, Gertie.
They punch fists. Gregorio gets to his feet.
You tried to save us? Why?
Gregorio holds out his hand. Grandpa takes it.
Because you're my family.
You know, there isn't a man on this earth we'd ever think would be good enough for our daughter, but...
You come pretty close.
Gregorio winks at them and joins Ingrid. Alexandra addresses him.
By order of the president, you are the new director of the OSS. Congratulations.
Ingrid smiles proudly. Gregorio tries to conceal his glee, pursing his lips and nodding knowingly. Alexandra goes to Junie.
Level one.
No thanks.
You don't want it?
I'm leaving the OSS. I've seen what it takes to be a top spy. I think I can be better used to the world by just being the best me.
But what about all the cool gadgets?
Got the best gadget right here. Use number one. A stylish bracelet.
He gives her the elastic.
See around?
Yes.
The Cortezes climb onto the deck of the mothership, bathed in the glow of the evening sun. Carmen and Junie hear each other's thoughts.
Go ahead. Say it.
What?
I told you so.
Junie squeezes Carmen's hand.
Never.
They both smile.
Wait!
Romero runs up carrying a small box. He gives it to Junie.
Thank you.
You got it, boss.
Romero steps back, waving. Junie opens the box and the miniature spider monkey scurries out, up Junie's arm, onto his shoulder. As the mothership pulls away, Romero and the creatures stand on the beach waving. Junie gently waves back, and the tiny spider monkey beats his chest in delight. The mothership floats away into the sunset. A flying pig flaps a farewell. Audio description written by Claire LeMay. Read by Dan Strauss. Studio engineer Dominic Shanks. Ralph the robotic bug limps across the black screen on crutches. He pulls down the first of the credits. Written and directed by Robert Rodriguez. Produced by Elizabeth Avalan. Outside a theatre, a billboard reads Island of Lost Dreams. Inside, the audience are chanting... Carmen cowers in the wings. She turns to Machete.
I am not going out there.
Oh, yes, you are. You're a spy, you're undercover, and you have to make them think you're a pop star.
I can't sing.
Who can these days? I can't tell you how many artists have used my Machete miracle microphone.
I can't sing.
This will make you dance like Britney Lopez.
Hey, what about me?
This will make you play like Angus Ben Santana.
Cool.
Now get out there and rock!
Carmen and Juni go on stage. Produced and edited by Robert Rodriguez. Executive producers Bob Weinstein and Harvey Weinstein. Director of Digital Photography, Robert Rodriguez. Line producer Bill Scott. Production designer Robert Rodriguez. Music by Robert Rodriguez and John Debney. Music performed by the Texas Philharmonic. Costume designer Graciela Mazon. Casting by Mary Vernieu. Unit production manager Bill Scott. First assistant director Brian Betwee. Juni brings Carmen Machete's belt. She straps it on and starts to dance. Machete grins as he plays with the controls, making Carmen gyrate her hips and fling her arms and legs furiously. Cast: Gregorio Cortez, Antonio Banderas, Ingrid Cortez, Carla Guigino, Carmen Cortez, Alexa Vega, Juni Cortez, Daryl Sabara, Romero, Steve Buscemi, Donegan, Mike Judge, Machete, Danny Trejo, Felix Gum, Cheech Marin. Juni plays his guitar. Gary Giggles, Matt O'Leary, Gertie Giggles, Emily Osment, Grandfather Ricardo Montalban, Grandmother Holland Taylor, Fegan Floop, Alan Cumming, President's Daughter Taylor Momsen, President of the USA Christopher McDonald, Head Magnaman Dale Dudley, Magnaman Waiter Troy Robinson, Main Secret Service Agent Ron Hayden, Secret Service Agent Number 2 Brian Thornton, Secret Service Agent Number 3 Mark Turner, Dinky Winks Bill Paxton, Park Public Relations Angela Lanza, Test Family Felix, Linda Alexandra and Victoria Sabates, Spy Girl Jasmine Marin, Alexander Minion, Tony Shalhoub. Carmen's dancing becomes more frenetic. Carmen and Juni leave the stage. Machete's mouth is hanging open.
What, are you surprised your gadgets work?
I just realized I never put any batteries in this.
Carmen and Juni's mouths drop open. The workman in the OSS building takes down Gary's picture and replaces it with a picture of a dog in a cap and dark glasses. Spy Dog of the Year. A series of outtakes.
Action.
Juni does his balletic leap and falls over.
Back to one.
Gertie pulls a face. Carmen and Juni sing in between takes. Juni strokes the pendant like Gollum in the Ring.
My precious. We're nearing the destination zone. We're nearing destination zone. The location radius from all that disappeared. Stop! Okay. We're nearing destination zone. Where all that disappeared. Stop! I know it! Take wheel! What is it?
Gregorio and Ingrid dance a dramatic tango. He swings her back over his arm and drops her. He quickly hoists her up to her feet and the couple hurry off, trying to pretend nothing happened. Dinky, the owner of the theme park, arrives at the island in a rowing boat. He gets out and goes over to Romero.
Well, woo! Man, you're not an easy man to find. You and your island are leaky.
I'm Dinky. Winks, that is. Heard you had a wild place here, and,
Well, sir,
I was thinking you might be interested in a little, business proposition. You ready? Theme park! Think about it. Families on safari, crazy critters running all over the place. Hey there, fella.
The slizzard snaps at Dinky's hand.
See it already, can't you? Huh? We'd be great together. What do you say?
In the treehouse, the lift door slams shut. The two metal chairs unfold from the floor, but no one is there.